Gospel of Matthew writes in chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded enough to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The Gospel of Luke writes in chapter 2, verse 11, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Jesus, when he was a grown man in his ministry in John chapter 15, verse 13, said these words. He said, Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. There is no greater display of love or genuine care for a person than to be willing to die, no, to lay down your life for another person. That is the greatest measure of love that can't be fathomed by most. But that is the greatest measure of love that can be demonstrated by a person. For centuries, men and women of our armed forces, and for armies of other countries for that matter, have died in battles defending their respective countries because they love their country so much. That love even penetrates down to the people who make up their countries. And when thinking on those terms, these brave men and women who died in battle did not just die for their friends, but for complete strangers. And Jesus said, that is a love at its greatest. But folks, we are not strangers to God. The Bible says in Genesis 1:27 that God created every single one of us in His image. The prophet Jeremiah recorded the words of God in Jeremiah 1:5 when he said that before he was born, even before he was formed in his mother's womb, God knew him. This morning, can I just tell you something? God knows who you are. The Bible says in Matthew 10:30 that even the hairs on your head are numbered by God. He knows who you are. And with that in mind, I want to share with you perhaps the greatest six words of all of the Bible. And here's what they are. For God so loved the world. God is a God of love. God made you in His image because He loves you. God loves the whole world, the Bible says. That means everyone. That means every single person sitting here today. God loves you. It was that great love of God that He demonstrated when He placed His own Son in that manger the night that God came to earth, manifested in the form of a baby boy. But God's love did not stop there. His love extended to the cross where His Son Jesus, at the age of 33, was placed. He hung there after being brutally beaten. He hung there with the weight of mankind's sins on His shoulders. He hung there as His own Father, who was holy and righteous and pure and perfect, turned His back on Him because He was not able to look upon man's sins. He hung there. Jesus hung on that cross, grasping for His last breaths and uttering these loving words, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. He hung there as He uttered His final words, It is finished. And perhaps as Jesus was hanging on that cross, His own words were repeating over and over and over in His head, Greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life in love for every one of us. These past 3 weeks, we have looked at the question, what is Christmas? I mentioned 2 weeks ago that Christmas is worship. It is that time of the year when we place all of our attention on the worship of God as we celebrate the birth of his Son, Jesus. And then last week, I mentioned that Christmas is rest. It's that time of year that we are to seek the peace of God. We are to draw near to him. We are to be still and know who he is. And we are to find rest in him. And today I want us to focus on this. What is Christmas? Christmas is love. God's love. You know, the story of Christmas is all about a gift of love, a gift that is far more important and enduring than anything that you or I have ever found under a Christmas tree. It is a story of the greatest gift humanity has ever been given. For out of God's great love, he gave the world a Savior on that night 2,000 years ago. And so Christmas is the celebration of Jesus, the Messiah who came to this earth. It's the celebration of the Father's love. It's the celebration of us being given and having the opportunity to receive his great, wonderful gift of love. The Bible says that Jesus came into a dark and sinful world as, quote, the light that shines in darkness. For his birth in Bethlehem was foretold by the Jewish prophet Micah some 700 years before it actually happened. Micah records in Micah 5:2, "But thou, Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old and for everlasting." That city of Bethlehem, it dates far back in Jewish history. It was where the patriarch Jacob buried his lovely wife Rachel, as found in Genesis chapter 35. It was the hometown of the woman Naomi, found in the book of Ruth of the Old Testament. And it was where King David was anointed king over all of Israel, 1 Samuel records. But in Jesus' day, Bethlehem was this small village located about 5 miles south of Jerusalem. The Hebrew word for Bethlehem means house of bread. That night, the world received its greatest gift when Jesus, who was known as the bread of life, according to the Gospel of John, was also born in the house of bread. At the time of Jesus' birth, historically, it was considered a dark time in the nation of Israel. For they were under heavy oppression of Roman rule. Jewish citizens were paying ever-increasing taxes to support the armies of the Roman Empire. Ironically, those same armies were used to persecute and oppress those very Jews who were paying taxes to them. They were paying taxes for roads and building projects all over the Roman Empire, but none of those tax dollars were benefiting the Jews of Israel. Surely, as Joseph and Mary made their difficult 90-mile journey from the city of Nazareth to Bethlehem, they saw squads of Roman soldiers along the way that reminded them of their country's occupation by these Romans. It reminded them of the oppression that the Romans had cast on them and all the Jews. Oh, it was true, all right, as could be expected under those circumstances. There was no love between Romans and Jews, or between Jews and Romans for that matter. Unable to obtain lodging in a little town that was crowded with visitors due to the census being taken that night, they finally found refuge in this humble stable. It was in that stable, a barn, if you will, where Mary, this young lady, gave birth to her son. But he was no ordinary son. Prior to all of this night's activities, Mary had been visited by an angel. And the angel told her there in Luke chapter 1, here's what he said, "Hail, Thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, Mary. Blessed art thou among women. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Oh, this is no ordinary baby. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there is no end. Then said Mary to the angel, how can this be? How could this happen, seeing that I have never known a man? And the angel answered her, the Holy Ghost shall call upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Mary's son was royalty. He would be the heir to the Davidic throne. She and Joseph were told by an angel on separate occasions to name that baby Jesus. And so they did. They named him Jesus. In their Hebrew language, his name is Yeshua. It comes from the angel's announcement to Joseph when that angel said, for he, this baby Jesus, Yeshua, he will save. The word for save in the Hebrew is Yoshia. Yoshia. Oh, now I get it. Yeshua. Well, Yoshia. Jesus will save his people from their sins. After Jesus was born, Mary laid her newborn son in that manger. Royalty? Heir to the Davidic throne? This baby born of ordinary peasants who was laying in a manger? It was an animal feeding trough in the smelly, dark stable. He, royalty? Yes. The angel said he was the one. But little did Mary and Joseph, or anyone else for that matter, know that this baby boy, this Jesus, would not stay in that feeding trough for very long. For eventually, Jesus would feed the masses with his words about the Heavenly Father's love. On that same night, in that vast darkness of the hillsides, all surrounding the city of Bethlehem, shepherds were in a nearby field. They were guarding their sheep, as they always do every night. But this particular night, something extraordinary happened. Suddenly, the sky was glowing with a bright light. After 400 years of silence, that time between the Old Testament and the New Testament, God had spoke to his people once again. That very night, God used an angel to proclaim the demonstration of his love. And his words were, for there is born unto you this day in the city of David or Bethlehem a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Oh, the love of God was still there for mankind. He had not given up on his creation. No, his love was now even greater than ever before. His love, God himself, came down to earth in the form of a baby boy. The light increased that night as the angel was joined by a multitude of angels praising God. What a sight to behold. Can you imagine? There's one angel telling the good news, and all of a sudden, multitudes of angels praising God. Well, after that, the shepherds just had to see this Christ child. They had to see God's love manifested in the form of a baby who would be found laying in that manger. And so they hurried to Bethlehem. And it was just like they had been told by that angel. When they looked on that baby's face, they saw not only the face of God, but they saw God's love. So moved were they that as they left, they heralded this good news to everyone who would hear. The good news that the Messiah had indeed been born, and we have seen God's love through this baby. He was here. Just like the Old Testaments and the old prophets have told us, God's love was on earth for all of the world to see. And these lowly, humble shepherds, they were the first to witness that love. But certainly they would not be the last. For that love, that God's love, can still be seen and it can still be found to all of the world today. If you haven't experienced God's love, I hope you came here today to experience and to know firsthand the love of God. God's love also extended outside the land of Israel. He placed a special star in the sky. That star led others to His love and to His Son. The Bible records in Matthew chapter 2, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, asking, 'Where is He that is born, King of the Jews? We have seen His star in the east, and we are here to worship Him.'" They made that request to the king Herod at that time. Herod was not born a king. He had been appointed king of Judea by the Roman officials out of Rome. Herod was merely ruling over the Jewish people in that stated area. But something was going on in Herod's mind, these wise men's revelation, asking where was the king of the Jews. It threatened him, and it began to threaten his position, and it started weighing on his mind. Herod was known for being a talented diplomat, but he was also well known at being utterly deranged. And he asked those scholarly men that day where the Messiah was to be born. What did they know about all of this according to the Hebrew Scriptures? And so they told him. And when he learned that it was in Bethlehem, he slyly told those wise men to find the child. "And when you find him, bring back word to me, so that I too may come and worship him." Following the star that God had placed in the sky led those wise men to the Christ child. And after finding him and worshiping him and giving him gifts, after acknowledging the Father's love demonstrated in this wonderful child, the Bible says they departed on their way. But in obedience to a revelation from God through a dream, the wise men took a different route home in order to avoid King Herod, for you see, Herod had no good in his mind. In a rage, when Herod found out that the wise men did not return, he ordered all of the males in Bethlehem, age 2 and under, to be killed. But you see, unbeknownst to even Herod, God was at work. And God had warned Joseph to take Mary and take baby Jesus and go to Egypt and stay there, for in Egypt you will be safe, God said. After Herod died a few years later, Joseph and Mary and Jesus returned back to Israel unharmed. God had protected his son, just as any father who loved his own son would do. God had protected his son to carry out his perfect plan to bless the world. Folks, I don't know about you, but that is love. There was a song that was written a few years ago by Bill and Gloria Gaither. The lyrics go like this: "He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny. Was the lonely hill of Golgotha there to lay down his life for me? And if that isn't love, then the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the little sparrows can't fly. Yeah, if that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. And there's no feeling like this if that isn't love. Even in death, he remembered the thief hanging by his side, and he spoke of love and compassion. And he took him to paradise. If that isn't love, then the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the little sparrows cannot fly. Yeah, if that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this. If that isn't love, but oh, that's got to be love. What is Christmas? The Christmas story is an account of God's remarkable love for humanity. For in love, he brought Joseph and Mary to exactly the right place at exactly the right time, the perfect godly time for Jesus to be born. And in love, God preserved Jesus' life so that his great plan could be carried out for centuries upon centuries to where we're at today, December 17, 2017. In love, God revealed the birth of Jesus to shepherds and wise men, and he proclaimed the good news of his love through the angels. In his love for humanity, God has preserved the story of the Messiah's birth for over 2,000 years. And in his love, he gives the greatest gift. And here's what it is. If you haven't heard anything all morning, listen to this. For you see, the greatest gift may not necessarily be that baby boy. The greatest gift for you and I today is the gift of everlasting life. And it's for anyone who repents of their sins and comes to Jesus for forgiveness. Jesus said in John 6:37, "All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no way cast out." Jesus said these words in John chapter 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me will have everlasting life and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. For God so loved the world." Have you ever experienced God's love? It's here today for you to accept. When I was a kid, my parents gave us all Christmas gifts. We weren't rich, but we had presents under the tree every year. I remember when I got those ice skates that I had wanted so bad, getting that G.I. Joe. My brother got the talking G.I. Joe. I haven't figured that out just yet. That remote control car, a train set, a new basketball, that new baseball bat. And the thing is, none of those gifts are around any longer. They were played with and used over and over again. Some were broken, some have been lost. My mother even sold some at the garage sales. Some were simply thrown away. As a man, a husband, a father, a grandfather, I, like you, continue to receive gifts. Hunting equipment, shirts, ties, blankets, pajamas, cashews, boxes of candy. Again, some have long been eaten and enjoyed. Some have been used or outgrown. Some have simply worn out. Gifts that have been used, lost, and even sold. But nothing will ever diminish that glorious gift that God gave me on February 9, 1969, when I was 9 years old. That is when I received his greatest gift of love. It was his son, Jesus, the Savior, the Christ, the Lord. I received him. I had received this great loving gift of God into my heart and into my life. And one day, that baby boy who was born and placed in that manger, that baby boy who grew to be Jesus Christ, who hung on that cross, that baby boy who, after hanging on that cross, rose again from the dead, victorious not only over sin, but also over death. He will be coming back soon, and I believe it's very, very soon. But when he comes back, listen to this, he will come back as the eternal King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? He will be Jesus, the Messiah, who reigns forever and ever and evermore. And on that day, the Bible says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father Almighty. Amen. Yahshua, the one who, Yosha, the one who saves his people from their sins. Christmas is all about God's love. It's not about doing a play or a drama. It's not about shopping. It's not about opening presents under the tree. All those things are good. But if we miss the essence of Christmas, if we miss this essence, it's all about God's love. We have missed the whole thing. What is this love? It's a love for you this morning. It's a love for every single person in the form of a gift. And that gift is God's very own Son, Jesus Christ. But let me remind you about something. In order for a gift to be a true gift, it has to be accepted and received by the one to whom it was given. Many of you have shown your love to my wife and I in these past couple weeks. You've given us cards and some gifts. But I wonder what would be the response if I just held my hands in my pocket as you were reaching out to give me a card or a gift, and I said, I don't want that. No, you see, by taking my hands out of my pockets and humbly holding my hands out and saying, thank you for that card. Thank you for the gift. I acknowledge you love me and I love you. And you see, when I receive that gift unto myself, you who have given it go away with such a blessing, saying, I have given this, but see, the gift has been by the one who has received it. And God can do all of this through his great love. He can say, I'm going to send my son Jesus, and I'm going to place him in a manger, and he's going to grow up, and he's going to hang on that cross, and he's going to die for the sins of the world, but I'm going to raise him that third day to show that I have power over death, and he is there for all to receive. The Bible says in John and in Acts, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and we are all whosoever's. But none of that means anything if all of the whosoever's if we don't hold our hands out, and we say, Heavenly Father, thank you for that gift of love. And if we don't reach down and receive Jesus unto ourselves, the gift is in vain. For we have to receive it, and once we receive it, the Bible says that once we receive Jesus Christ into our hearts, we are forgiven of our sins and we are given the greatest gift of all, to live in eternity with God. God has already given it. The question then this morning for all of us is, have you received this gift of love from God? Have you received his son Jesus as your Savior and your Lord? If not, why not? The gift has been given to you. But if you're standing here with your hands in your pocket, Pastor, you know, I like you and you do a good job, but I just don't want it. The gift has been given to you. And all we have to do, isn't it great? All we have to do is take our hands out. Say, I want Jesus. I want the one who's been called the Messiah, the Savior, and the Lord into my heart. Won't you do that today? Reach out and accept God's love. Those six greatest words, for God so loved the world, are followed in that same verse. that he gave his only begotten Son. Listen to this. That whosoever believes in him, reaching out and accepting that, shall never perish. And God promises these great four words, you will have everlasting life. That, my dear friend, is love. God's great love. Let us pray together.